Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
Never filtered. Always fun.
I'm driving a standard with my left hand.
Think about how dangerous that is. Like, how can people show up in England and be just handed over the keys to a car?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're willing to pay the rental fees. Like, how can you possibly allow that?
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
I wasn't going to mention this, but I have to, because sometimes I feel like I pick on Edmonton too much. Not that I really care. I'm in Toronto. What do I care? But
right.
You're from Edmonton, and I don't want to bother you, and I don't want to bother your hometown. And Strutty's our buddy, and he comes on here.
Well, I pick on Edmonton. Believe me, I pick enough on Toronto, and there's plenty to go around here.
I hear you.
So. Not
that's a good point.
What is it?
Toronto. You're not supposed to pronounce the T. You're not supposed to pronounce it.
Toronto? What is it?
It's just that people here
don't. Toronto, isn't it?
No, nah, we don't pronounce the T.
Which T? The front or the back?
The back.
Well,
we pronounced the first one. It's not Oronto.
Well, which, you're still using a T on the back end.
I say Toronto, but it's such an arrogant, you're a Toronto guy thing to point out to other people.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
There's enough arrogance to go around in the Toronto
that's
area.
That's for sure.
But I didn't notice that. Toronto. So I should just say Toronto.
That's how Americans.
It's Toronto.
So it's spelled T-R-O-N-N-O.
It is spelled
Toronto.
Toronto.
That's good.
Like Toronto is totally fine. Like you can do that. But if you're from Toronto, you usually don't pronounce the second T. Right.
Well, I'm from Toronto now. So
yeah,
I've got
you're good at
it.
You got
it right.
Toronto. I gotcha.
It's like Detroit. That always bothers me when people are like Detroit.
The Detroit Red Wings.
It's Detroit.
Yeah, that it you is know? Detroit.
In Newfoundland. It's not Newfoundland. Newfoundland.
Why,
right?
Have you ever met anybody who'd be like, I'm from Newfoundland?
Yes. Or? Well, I've never heard anyone say they're from there, because if you're from there, you would never say that. But people do have a tendency to say that. I've heard that before.
Like in the south or something.
Like well, probably,
American,
yeah.
From the down south.
Anywhere around the world, I guess. I'm sure there's a lot of mispronunciations that happen.
Well, but I am a Trontonian.
No, you could say Trontonian. That's the thing that really throws people off.
I know. That's
you're a Trontonian, but you're from Toronto.
I'm from Toronto.
Good man. Well, this doesn't have anything to do with the city or the landscape or the people.
All right. What is it got?
It's just another jab at Peter Chiarelli, who was a human pinata in the hockey world. How did he trade Tyler Seguin again? How the hell did Peter Chiarelli trade Tyler Seguin?
You remember watching that video that they did inside the Bruins or whatever it was called?
No, I never saw that.
You never saw this?
No, I never saw that.
Did you see this? It was like their war room, kind of, and they were talking about trading Tyler Seguin and why they were going to do it. And it's not.
Here's the other thing,
in hindsight.
Yeah, but it wasn't let's not act like Tyler Seguin wasn't a choir boy either. Like, he had some off-ice stuff going on.
Okay, fine. But he's still second overall pick that's now going to score 40.
He's a great player.
He's 20 at the time.
I get it. He's a great player. But like I say, there's always things behind the curtain that people don't know.
For sure.
And you have to at least layer in something of that. That's
okay, but then let's go to Taylor Hall. Like, it's hard to defend some of this.
Blake Wheeler, by all accounts, is the greatest pro in pro sports.
Right.
Chiarelli traded Blake Wheeler.
Yeah, and it was
Wheeler had chosen Boston too when he signed there, right? He was came out of college
and he did like the college free agent thing
free
where
agent
he didn't sign.
And he chose Boston.
Yeah, like the Schultz kind of thing. Anyway, I was watching him last night and I'm like, this Chiarelli dude, he even games that don't include his team, there's guys all over the league that he's traded.
Yeah, he won a cup though in Boston, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Yep.
So I think they worked out for him.
But that's when, like, his...
But this was after. My take has always been, whatever you do before the cup, you never have to go back and explain yourself. If you do something after the cup...
But so does Stan Bowman have to go back and apologize to people?
Well, not apologize, but...
But that's what I'm saying. That guy's got three cups.
But that doesn't mean you
nothing.
But when did he trade a Tyler Seguin type talent?
No, it's like Seabrook and some of these contracts.
Yeah, but you know what? It's funny. Like, armchair GMs,
you can go back... No, but that was wrong at the time.
Come on,
absolutely not. Absolutely.
Brent Seabrook for 8 years at the time? Come on.
Okay, but where else? My point is it's easy to go back and go, oh, well,
no.
Well, what did Brent Seabrook do for you, though? What do you mean?
But
so what are you going to do to Brent Seabrook when he walks in your office? Sorry, you won 3 cups. Get the hell out of here.
No, but well, sorry, we're not going to sign
like,
you.
That's ridiculous.
But come on, we're not going to sign you for 8 years.
You and I, we got into because you know I hated that contract the second it was signed.
I know,
so this is going to kill them.
That wasn't hindsight. That was at the time.
If you want to sign him for three or four years. Everyone who thinks they can be a GM, they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Well, like, that's not. Well, maybe the GMs don't know what the hell they're doing either.
Okay,
you ever thought of that?
Okay, so let's dissect five organizations quickly. Okay. So Brendan Shanahan tried to sign who?
David Bolin. Bad move.
Tried to trade for Josh Georges. Let's just take a look. If those things would have worked out.
We've talked about this. They've had lots of things go in their favor.
What I'm trying to say is that every manager has made mistakes. Every one of them.
Yeah.
Not just one guy or two guys. And believe me, I'm not defending Shirelli, who's made mistakes, or Stan Bowman. But those guys have won cups. I think you at least have to give them
a little
bit of leeway.
But that's not like get-out-of-jail-free card for everything you do after.
Okay, so if Brendan Shanahan brings a cup here, or
does that mean he can start screwing up the team? Like he has full license.
Would you give him a longer leash if you're a Leafs fan?
Yes, I would. Of course, but a longer leash is different from not saying that something is bad.
All I'm saying is that Maple Leafs fans are dying for a cup here. If Brendan Shanahan brings one, or Lou, or whoever is Babcock, I think there's a leash here that you can give.
Without question.
You're building bridges for these guys right now, right?
Without question, yeah. And they would deserve that. But first of all, Shirelli, he made the Hall trade in Edmonton,
right.
Not in Boston.
I know.
Right? So I'm just saying, Shirelli, compared to the other GMs we talk about.
Right.
Now, there's a part of me that's like, man, I give this guy credit because he's got the stones to make deals.
Right.
And I like that. And like the Kessel deal was a deal that he benefited greatly from. That was a great trade. But you look at who he's dealt over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Kessel is probably going to the Hall of Fame. Like, we goof on Phil, and if you saw that picture that NBC posted on Twitter last night.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about that.
A Hall of Fame picture of Phil. Hall of Fame Phil pic. You have to find it online.
A guy just sent it to us. It was like Michael sent it to us.
Can't get enough of that pick.
It is the greatest pick ever.
But Kessel, if he keeps going like this, he's probably going to get in.
I would think
he's
so.
He probably
too.
Already is close.
He's close.
If Sagan keeps going for another 10 years, probably. Hall, I don't know about that. Dougie Hamilton, no, but really good player.
Yeah.
Blake Wheeler, not getting into the Hall of Fame, but really good
Very
player.
Very good player.
Eberle, not getting into the Hall of Fame, but really good player. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Shirelli has traded
massive players.
Just incredibly talented players.
And some work out, some don't, but I all I'm saying is that you got to be careful in your judgment just because we always look in the now. Like, things could turn around quickly, things couldn't. It's easy to throw stones in hindsight.
I don't think those are good examples. I think, like, the Ducks having to sign Perry and Getzlaff when they go to UFA, I don't know what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't let those
guys
go.
They're in their late 20s, and they're the...
But that's the thing.
And yet those contracts are going to be disasters.
At some point, but you know what? That's 5 years from now.
Perry's right now.
Perry's fine.
No.
All right, we got Ray.
Yeah, we're wasting Ray's time.
Well,
sorry, Ray.
Ray's a fan of the show as much as he's a...
Sorry, Ray.
You know, Ray on Overdrive is brought to you by Valiant Financial. I got this whole party started because I just said I'm watching Sagan last night. I can't believe Peter Chiarelli traded the guy. And he's traded Hall, he's traded Phil, he's traded Blake Wheeler, he's traded Eberle. Like, he's traded some really good players throughout his career. And Sagan, probably the best of the bunch. It's crazy, his track record, Peter Chiarelli.
Well, the thing I'm, you know, when I was listening to you guys, as you said, I'm a fan of the show. And so I was listening, and at no point in any of those trades am I thinking he got the best player in the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Not one of them. I most of the deals outside of the Hall for Larson deal, I believe, are volume deals. You know, three guys for one guy, and they don't work. Like, at some point, you've got to come up with the best player in the deal, or what you think is the best player in the deal. In none of those cases did that happen. And that would be my biggest critique. I mean, you can argue Hall for Larson, and they needed a defenseman. And I thought, you know, and I'm not in the calls. I'm sure he tried for a while to make that deal, and this was the best deal that he could come up with. And Larson, it's not like Larson's a terrible player, but he's, you know, he's not going to have the impact, I wouldn't think, of Taylor Hall.
Yeah, it's not Taylor Hall.
Yeah, but you can make the argument, okay, I could see why he did it. And I guess you could make the argument, I can't make an argument why you would trade Sagan, although that was as much from what they were worried about off the ice as on the ice. But damn, he's a good player. And so they got three guys that are no longer there.
Yeah,
right.
And that's the volume deal that is always dangerous. I want this and. Eventually you get a bunch of ands, and none of them are of significance.
That's
a mistake to me.
It's a great point. I'll even tie it into Pierre Dorion not making a move on Carlson at the deadline, because you're trading a generational player. You're never going to get back value. I mean, Joe Thornton.
We have that here. Vince Carter. That trade. They just got all these pieces, and none of them worked out.
Well, Ray brings up a great point. The word volume. So sometimes you better get this, this, and this. But they still don't add up to the value of the piece that came.
Yeah, how about don't get this, this, and this, just get this. like get, dig into the better part of that team. Like, the reason you're going to get a second-line guy and a third-line guy and a first-round draft pick that in 4 years might be a guy, so that's a lot of mites as opposed to a sure thing.
Well, and you also got to consider the timing of all this and the pressure points. When it came to Vince Carter here in Toronto, he was demanding a trade. He wanted out.
So that
they got Seward.
That forced their hand.
Absolutely.
Right?
The same thing's going to happen with Carlson. Believe me, they can talk all this game they want. He's walking next year, so they have to deal him. They didn't have to trade Sagan in Boston. They didn't have to trade Taylor Hall.
They decided to make those trades.
Well, I think the Sagan one, I think there's more to it. The Hall one is the... The Hall for Larson, like Ray said, it's a situational thing where they felt that they needed a defenseman. And also, if you go back on and take a look, there was a lot of people that felt that that core needed to be shaken up.
But then if you're management, you've got to say, if there's nothing out there, then there's nothing
you've
out there.
You've got to fight. But the point is that core, you weren't winning with it. That's the truth. So you there was players that were
I'm
now
not sure
in hindsight
that was right.
Very good. In hindsight, yeah, you're not sure it's right. Because I like Jordan Eberle. I said Jordan Eberle was as good as Mitch Marner last year, and Hayes' head almost exploded off of his body.
I think we all know what the correct
answer
is.
Eberle is just as good as Mitch Marner.
Eberle's as good as Mitch Marner.
He's got 24 goals, doesn't he?
Okay.
Let Ray go.
The Oilers are looking for a winger just like Eberle right now.
That's right. They should have kept him. That's my
right.
point.
Like, well, they should have drafted Marner instead of McDavid is what they should have done.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, he's
I'm in a good mood today.
Yeah, he's loving
you
Mitch
are,
Marner
you?
Today.
Yeah.
How long is it before you turn into Surly Hayes?
Well,
like
if Marner's
that.
A plug tonight, I'll carve him when I get back on Monday.
Now, this guy's already he's got an less than 2 hours left before he's on a bus for a bachelor party tomorrow. He doesn't even care about this show.
Just lighting this whole show up in flames before I leave.
By the way, so bachelor party on Friday night, and then he's going to staple his ass to the couch and watch Tiger all weekend again.
Oh, I can't wait. How about that today? How about that 71-footer on 7 that he hit?
Right in the middle of the cup. Thanks for coming.
You know what,
I was just talking to a couple of the Leaf guys, and did you guys see? And they're like, nah, we were napping. And they were sour. They had to nap today. They wanted to watch.
Oh, the players are into Tiger.
Oh, yeah. Anyone that swings a golf club is into it.
Yeah.
Like, how can you not be? You can like them or don't like them, but you're into it. Even if you say you're not, you are.
Ray, are you you're a Tiger guy, yes or no? Like you're.
Yes. Yeah. I don't care about any of the other stuff because the damage he inflicted was to himself.
Right.
The sport of golf, I like to see the best. He is the best or was the best, and now he looks like he's healthy and he's going to play against the best, these young guys that are all so good. I want Mickelson to be in there too, but I'm not a Mickelson guy, and I don't think it's possible to be a Mickelson and a Tiger guy, and I was a Tiger guy, right? Right when he showed up, I thought that was really cool what he was able to turn the game of golf, all these old guys, and he turned it on its ear, and I love that.
Is Mickelson the gambler? Is that the guy who was like calling people up and just saying, I'm going to rinse him for $2 million?
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Hey, it's
Phil. Allegedly, their practice rounds when Phil's involved. They're not playing for a beverage after the 18th hole.
Wow, those
got some serious coinage down there.
Two famous voicemails. One's Tiger calling a girl he was sleeping with saying, hey, make sure you don't answer your phone if I call from this number because my wife is hot on the trail. And the other one is Phil leaving a message for his buddy saying he's got a foursome set up tomorrow. Bring your checkbook. We're going to fleece the boys.
That's awesome.
Hey. Yeah.
Famous voicemails.
Yeah, those are great. But I'll say this, though. Like, we're less than a month away from the Masters, so I have to send a message out to Nance and Faldo and the CBS crew. Please get creative between now and the end of the month because the cheesy catchphrases after Tiger does anything, I can't take him anymore. It's always the same thing. Did I just see that? Yeah, you saw it. He hit the shot. Like,
it's television.
Yeah,
we all saw it.
We saw it. We're all watching.
They're. I guess those guys at the Masters are under like the strictest of terms about what they can and can't say. You can't criticize the course. You can't call them fans. They're patrons. There's a whole list of things you can and can't say. And I remember Gary McCord said the greens were fast as like it looked like they had been bikini waxed. And he got kicked out. He's never been back.
How obnoxious is that?
Like, really? Was that enough for expulsion for life?
I know. The thing is, you know this, Ray. The players, they know the rules. They're so careful. They show up at a USGA every year, invariably. Every year, they're like, this is a joke. The rough is too long. The greens are too fast. I hate this course. Every one of them shows up at Augusta, and they're like, it's perfect. We love it here. I can't say enough good things. They're brainwashed.
What, the rule is like they'll get kicked out.
Kicked out. You can't come back. You're gone.
it's like the soup Nazi. You're done. Like
exactly.
You're done.
I gotta bring up one thing. Noodles, you know when we're out traveling around and you're underneath the rink and you see like strange things that are going on that are getting prepped up for the game and you're like, huh, I didn't know they did that.
Yeah.
They're polishing the right like a foot away from me, it's tied to a chair. They're polishing the little blimp advertising thing.
Really?
And so when he turned it around, I thought it was going to hit me just a minute ago. I was like, whoa, what the hell is that? It's like a blue Hindenburg. It's like he's wiping it down. It looks pretty good. I guess they'll throw the ad thing in there and fire it up in between periods.
So that just floats around the rink?
Yeah, it's a Buffalo quirk.
I think it like drops things. Doesn't it drop like...
It's
like,
only in Buffalo that I can recall.
I remember like trying to call a game one time. I want to say it was like in Florida or something, and there was like a blimp floating around, like dropping like you know gift cards or whatever. And I think I was either you know obviously I was with Gord or Chris, and the blimp was kind of like in the way of like us watching the game.
what they should hope is it can drop a couple of defensemen.
Yeah. Jack Eichel out of it tonight.
Or, yeah, exactly. Or drop. Well, will there be fans in? Are people driving down for this?
Well, I when I walked in, Noodles, there were Leaf fans everywhere. Like everywhere. I don't know what the percentage will be tonight, but this is a home game for them for sure.
Well, and Matt Martin's going to go in tonight, and I kind of feel for Andreas Janssen because he got laid out in the first last night, and he didn't play a lot beyond that, and it was difficult to get a read on him. He looks like a tenacious player. Like, he looks like he's aggressive. Yeah. He's not a big guy, and I'm sure this was the plan beforehand, and Noodles, you referenced this the other day, that Babcock might want to put Martin in because of the circumstance with Ristolainen, and the Sabres aren't playing for anything, and it could get a little bit animated tonight.
Right.
But I do wonder, you know, just in the back of my mind, if Janssen, there's a part of Babcock that saw him get hurt. And he's like, all right, moving on. Like Martin's in.
So
well, because he's not a big guy and he got laid out period.
This is what I would say, though. If they play Tampa, I think a player like Janssen becomes an option. Now, I don't know if he's ready. I mean, heck, I didn't see him last night at all. But I, you know, if he is. If they think he's ready, he could be an option in a series like that. If it's a series against a more physical team, then he's probably not an option right now. And so, I mean, there was no harm in playing him, and I'm assuming he'll get another game or two. I mean, otherwise, why call him up? You know, you got to but to write him off because he got thumped, I don't know that that would be very long-term thinking. Maybe Babcock doesn't think like that. He looks about today and lets somebody else worry about tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him play Montreal on Saturday.
Right.
Because that's not a physical team. I thought it was just an easy, it's an easy out to put Martin in tonight. It's a back-to-back. Sure. It's on the road. It could, if it gets a little greasy, not that, you know, we talked about the other day, there's not a lot of retribution and accountability out there, but still nice to have somebody of that ilk on in your lineup that can give you a shift, so or give you 8 to 10 minutes anyway.
And Martin played in Buffalo the last time they were there, and he's fairly energetic. They got their goals from that line,
exactly.
I believe it was. And the question becomes if Matthews returns on Saturday night, because if he does, then they'll just revert.
Oh, this Saturday?
This Saturday.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Well, he hasn't taken a regular shift yet, right?
He hasn't taken a regular practice.
Mm-hmm. And he's been in the red jersey.
They're not going to practice tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow will be an off day. It'll be 3 games in 4 nights for them.
I'm
in a vote here, but, and Ray, you can chime in. Will Freddie Anderson play Saturday?
No.
No.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
I say yes.
Yeah, I think he might.
They have brought him back quickly from this stuff before.
Right, and it's like to me again. We don't know what he did.
I liked McElhaney's quote there. He said, "Charting face offs," and the next thing he knew, somebody handed him his glove. And he's like, "What the hell?"
And he goes, "I would like to see what my heart rate went to because I think they wear monitors sometimes."
They do.
Like, yeah, so
not during the games. I don't think they're
no practice. They get tracked, but like that would have been awesome because I've been that guy where like you're. In other situations, I remember being in L.A., Ray, one time where Roman Turek allowed 3 goals on, like, you know, 6 shots.
Just pull your hat down a little bit.
You're trying to paint yourself invisible on the bench, and the coach is looking for you, and you're ducked down in the corner. And
get me out of here.
Yeah.
Don't put me in.
How about the rest of us, though, when they've changed the goalie? We're like, well, you better get in there and stop something.
Exactly.
I don't care if you've been eating a hot dog down there or not. Get in there and shut the door, would you?
Well, McElhaney gave up a goal on his first shot, I believe,
I thought that was going to be a rout because the Leafs didn't look sharp after that.
No,
like
they
were kind of done, and then they battled back. That's their skill level, though.
They grind. They don't lose at home all of a sudden. Their winning percentage at home is incredible.
Yeah.
It's like 730 or something.
What is it? They're 3-19-1. In Buffalo, so they would probably like to pull one of those home rebounds and bring it down here.
I would think
3-19-1. How the hell does that happen?
It's always been a problem for them. I don't know why. It always has, and they never play well down there, regardless of how bad Buffalo is, how good the Leafs might be. It never matters. It's on TSN 4 tonight. Leafs Sabres. You'll have the call. And pregame at 6:30, puck drop at 7. We look forward to it. Enjoy it. Enjoy the weekend. I'll be back here on Monday talking to you.
Yeah, maybe you will. Good luck this weekend yourself.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to need that. There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. I want to get into this Baker Mayfield story. He had his pro day a couple of days ago. It might have been yesterday, actually, down in Norman, Oklahoma. And the Monday morning quarterback has a report on what one of the NFL teams did. They don't know which NFL team it was, but what an NFL team did to find out exactly what the life of Baker Mayfield is all about. I was surprised by this report. We'll tell you about it next. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day on Friday. Come with the names of all 5 players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the Sabres April 2nd at the ACC. And the theme this week, former Leafs who played in the 99 Leafs versus Sabres Eastern Conference Final. And today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Mike Pekka. Mike Pekka, former Leaf, who was playing for Buffalo in that series. The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZephyrEpic.com. Richard Griffin on Josh Donaldson calling John Gibbons fake news, among other things going on with the Jays, including Stroman, who's going to pitch this upcoming weekend, so they're feeling better about the idea of him being available for that first series against the Yankees. So we'll catch up with Richard Griffin from The Star in about a half an hour. Nota Begay, golf analyst, former Pro Tour player himself, very close friend of Tiger Woods. He'll join us in about an hour. Tiger 4-under today in his first round at Bay Hill. So he's carried over the magic from last week. He's playing well. He's off to a really good start. Rory McIlroy 5-under today. Henrik Stenson in the lead at 7-under. A couple of big names sitting atop the leaderboard. So we'll get into the golf scene in about an hour. The NFL draft is about a month away, I guess, a little bit over a month. And free agencies open up. So a lot of the focus has been on free agency. But this is a really, really wild story that is making the rounds courtesy of the Monday Morning Quarterback. That's Peter King's website. Baker Mayfield is, I think he's probably the talk of the draft because he's coming off a Heisman season. He's not your conventional quarterback. He's not 6'4", 230.
Right.
Shades of Johnny Manziel because he's arrogant. He's been known to party. He's been in a couple of spots where maybe he shouldn't be. But he's a great player, flamboyant player, good arm. I think he's got a game that's more suitable to the NFL than Manziel's. But Manziel won the Heisman and was a college phenom, and Baker Mayfield is in a similar situation. So he's expected to go in the first round. In fact, I'm almost positive he will. We just don't know exactly where he's going to go.
Right.
So when the combine took place, and when pro days are going on and scouting's going on throughout the NFL, every once in a while you hear about different stories. Like last week, there was a very controversial story that came out of the combine. There was one of the players, a running back, I believe, was asked if he likes men during the interview.
Right.
And needless to say, that got out and it caused a big stir. And in 2018, you shouldn't be doing that. In fact, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to ask about the sexual orientation of a prospective employee.
Didn't someone ask about Dez Bryant's parents or something?
Asked. I don't think it was the Cowboys, but a team asked Dez Bryant if his mom was a prostitute.
Right.
So
yeah, too far.
The teams come out, though,
right,
and they leak it through the media, that the reason they claim they do this stuff is to throw the player off guard.
To rattle him.
We want to see how he handles it. As if...
Might want to come up with a slightly different angle on that one.
Right, exactly. Protect yourself more.
Yeah.
And last time I checked, if you're handing the ball off and there's a bunch of guys trying to tackle him, you know, what his mom may or may have not have been doing in her personal life probably isn't going to affect the way he's going to play in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that was a big story last week. And now this week, this is going to turn into a big story because Peter King and others reporting that there is an unnamed team in the NFL that hired a private investigator to track Baker Mayfield around Norman, Oklahoma.
Right.
I don't know how long the investigator was following him. We don't know, again, which team it was. Baker Mayfield is now privy to this information. He's been told that there was a team that hired someone to follow him around. I personally take serious issue with this.
Really?
Serious issue with this. I think this is where sports thinks they're different than every other line of business in the world. But the fact is, these are humans that are going to be your employees.
Right.
You have the right to screen somebody. You have the right to go through the conventional routes of trying to find out the background of a person. You ask them directly. You talk to their coach, their parents, people that might know them around right. the sporting world. Hiring someone that is not your employee to follow this person around to try to find out details on his personal life, to me, is completely offside.
So where is the line, then, in your world? Yeah. Because I
don't have a problem with it.
It depends on, like, I mean, we're talking off-air, so let's bring it on-air. Like, where does it stop? Like, stealing a computer and checking out browser history?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
this is
the slippery...
the same thing.
Absolutely, I think it can be. Like, that is illegal.
You're allowed to, like, as long as they're not doing anything illegal, what's the problem?
What, the private investigator?
Can't you just follow them? Like, what if everything you've tried, you're still not sure, so you just want to see what this guy does in a day? What's so bad about that? Like, you're not interfering with his life.
Well, but you could be interfering with his life.
Do we know that they were?
Well, I don't know.
How would they interfere with his life?
Well, for start, what if you think a guy's tailing you, and all of a sudden you're like, you run a red,
and you get smash your, into a...
Exactly. Yeah, you're like, what's this guy? Someone's been tailing me for 2 days.
But, I mean, I think what teams are doing is they're protecting their investment, in essence, because if you think that you're going to draft this guy with your, whatever, let's first overall pick or whatever, Think of the amount of money.
Yes.
We just had a spirited argument about Shirelli and Talon and or Bowman and all these guys spending money reckless on players that they actually knew. But we're talking about somebody you don't know at that you're going to throw a bunch of money at because you're going to be contractually obligated to give this guy a massive signing bonus. And if you find out something about this guy's behavior that could change your mindset on it, maybe that's money well spent. I agree with you, Brian, though. The point is there's a line.
I think there's a humane line here that's being crossed because I don't know what kind of information could he find, this private investigator, that, like, we just assume it's he's looking to see if he parties too much.
Right.
I use an example off the air. Now, this isn't Baker Mayfield. This could be any player. But exactly. Right. What if they find out he's gay and the public world didn't know that? And now all of a sudden they decide we're not going to draft him.
Well, that's on them. That's.
But who knows what kind of information they're seeking out? Is that you send a private investigator out, that guy's going to come back with everything he finds.
But for a $1 million-plus investment, shouldn't you, like, what's wrong with that? Well, why shouldn't you find out if this guy is living right?
Okay, but if again, this is an extreme example, and I'm not saying it applies here, but if you find out the sexual orientation, that's illegal. You can't be like, I'm not drafting this guy now. He didn't tell you that in the meeting.
I understand that.
He hasn't gone public with that.
People have the right to
privacy.
You know, live their life. Privacy. But how many times have we said the rules change when you are in the public eye? Like, technically, I mean, you know, Phil Kessel's should be afforded some privacy,
yeah, but
he has to answer because he's in the public eye.
But that's about, like, you know, what's with your hair and stuff like that.
Know,
that's
yeah.
not what he's doing in the privacy of his home
right.
or where he's, you know, who he's interacting with.
But
and
I think I agree with you when it comes to, for example, sexual orientation. I don't really think people care that much anymore, but maybe I'm
I think
being
he'd be
naive.
Surprised. I think there's certain markets in pro sports
right.
where
and
they're like,
hope,
I'm not bringing...
You hope
I'm
that
not,
2018...
Well, like, if they go in searching for that...
Right,
that's wrong.
That's
okay,
wrong.
So that's wrong.
But if you're
so what are they allowed
blind,
to search for?
I don't know, like the off-ice partying stuff?
I think that would be my biggest
that
concern.
Would be my, yeah, I would be worried. Wouldn't you? Like, if you're a GM, this is a really big deal, first-round pick. Wouldn't you want to make sure if, like, you had heard these things about this guy that maybe he's not living right off the field? Wouldn't you want to, like, be sure that
I would
he is?
Do everything I could within my own lane.
Legal means. That's legal.
Okay, but... Again, just because he's
It'd
a public figure,
if, like, with,
he still has the right to live his life
right.
a certain
well,
way.
Well,
he's not an employee of this team.
You're right.
Like, I don't have as much of a problem if it's your employee. If it's your own player and you're like, okay,
well,
we've got him on contract.
I think I may have a decent example here. Before Laramie Tunsil, that video that came out of him with the gas mask on, Jonas, I don't know if you know.
Oh, yeah.
The gas mask.
Yeah.
That got leaked on his Twitter or Instagram or whatever. Wasn't he rated to go like first or second or third?
Supposed to be a top five pick, yeah.
Okay, but somebody 10 minutes before leaked that and it changed people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
What if you did your due diligence and found out that's not what you wanted in your organization, regardless if it was 4 years ago or whatever? Like, you may have certain... And I get what you're saying, Brian, because if we can't control if people are closed-minded and certain things would turn them off of people. But what I'm saying is if I've done my due diligence and I didn't want that in my organization as far as drugs or things like that, I would want to know before I potentially made a mistake.
Well, I hear you. But, like, again, perfect world, you want to know everything you possibly can. But
right.
It's never a perfect world,
right.
And I don't trust the NFL that they're only going to send this guy out to send back the information of when this guy's at, you know, the bar having beers. That's what I'm saying. I don't trust that's where they're going to draw the line.
Right.
Like, the slippery slope is, oh, his laptop's open. I'm going to take a quick look at the Google history.
Yeah.
Hey, there's nothing illegal there. It's open.
But how do they get his laptop?
Well, if the guy's walking, you don't think private investigators could get access to that?
Well,
that's illegal. That's
or whatever. But
I think it would be wrong if it was like a sting. If they like sent a girl to his room or had like a drug dealer be like, hey,
you want some of this candy?
He's like, yeah, that's wrong. But it's not like they're sending like Pauly Soprano to his door.
But they're not doing this with every player. They're doing it for a reason. They think that he's actually going to fall into this trap. Well, they think they're going to catch him. That's why they hire the guy. And because if you send the PI out for 48 hours,
yeah.
What if he's got a cold and he just sits at his house? What did you accomplish?
Then you learned that you don't have to maybe worry about
it. No, you didn't learn that, because once he gets healthy in 2 days, when the PI is off his trail, he could be partying like an animal for weeks.
But that's what I think there is probably. And I see what you're saying, Brian, that agitates you, but I believe more information helps you make your decision a lot more accurate, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's the same thing with stats. That's why advanced stats are good. It's more
info. You dig in on it. The thing is how you decipher them, that's on you either morally or professionally. Because, you know, if he finds out something about, you know, your family, like I would like to know, and when it comes to players, I want to know what their parents are like. I want to know what their brothers are like and stuff. And I think you can find those out just through the main channels.
But that's what I'm saying. What's stopping them to send a PI on grandma and grandpa and Uncle Tony, who's a booze bag?
I know, but at least you know, like, that's the family tree. Like, okay, is he going to be like Uncle Booze Bag, or is he going to be like Nana and play bingo?
But how do you know? Right? How do you, like, this is the whole point. You can't look into the crystal ball and truly know what they're ever going to become.
Yeah, but yeah, if you can find this, like if you can at least try to find out.
I'm not saying you just.
It's not like every,
you don't draft the guy blind.
But they're not doing this with every player. It's the ones I would imagine that you think maybe there's something there.
Okay, but that means you've already got to that point anyway. You've talked to the coach. You've talked to their friend. Exactly. So why put him through a position where now he's like, wait a minute, there was a private investigator.
It's a bad tale. It's a bad PI, I guess, because they got caught.
Well, somehow it got out. Like, I don't think it was that the PI necessarily got tracked. It was an inside source that apparently told Baker Mayfield. That's what the reporting is. So someone within the organization that we're talking about.
Right.
Found out about it and for some reason told his agent or told Baker Mayfield.
So stay home, Baker.
I would think if I'm Mayfield, I'm like, I need to find out who this was.
Why?
Like, well, because you're already putting me in a position where you're telling me you don't really trust me. Like, if, let's say it's the Browns, okay? This right. would be something the Browns would do. So let's say it's the Browns, hypothetically speaking. Right. And they decide to take him with the first or fourth pick. And they draft him, and they walk him inside the room. They fly him to Cleveland, and then the owner says, hey, you know, that PI that we had tracking you, it turned out that was the closing deal for us because he didn't find anything on you. If you're Baker Mayfield, aren't you like, I beg your pardon, you were the team that was tracking me that didn't trust me? How am I supposed to trust you now?
Well, I but think to be fair, you get a reputation. Like, you earn your reputation, don't you? A little bit?
Not always. Like, a lot of it's word of mouth and social media.
So who on this show would you love to have a PI track?
Well, we know the answer to that. He's not here today.
Okay, so somebody's
but it's not,
tracking
it wouldn't
him
be fair
right
to
now.
O. It wouldn't be fair to O for us to track him.
No, it
you know,
wouldn't
we, if we want to find out what's going on, we can talk to different people. They'd probably come and talk
so
to us.
So that's okay?
Yes.
He can go to his family, talk to all those people, but you can't follow him around and not make a difference in his life?
Do you not see the difference? Like, are you,
I see the difference.
You don't see the difference in hiring a private investigator.
To just follow a guy around? What's so bad about that? I don't understand.
You're playing ignorant, Jonas.
No,
be serious.
I see the difference.
Stop it.
Like, I see the difference. I want more information, but I think there is a line.
What is the difference? Just so
let me get this straight. You don't understand the difference between hiring a private investigator.
And talking to parents? No.
You don't see the difference.
Tell me the difference.
Here's the difference.
I'm serious.
Jonas, I'll lay it out for you.
I can't do it.
The private investigator tonight, while you have a girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
You and your girlfriend are laying in bed. If you leave the curtains open,
yeah.
This guy may snap a pic because he's doing his due diligence.
Isn't that illegal?
I don't know.
I don't know.
There is a gray.
You can take pictures. You're allowed to take pictures of people in public.
I don't have a big enough background in any of this, but I'm just saying I think that what Hayes is saying, there is a line, and when you have PIs, the line can get very murky, and then where does it get drawn?
Right.
So I'm all about information and due diligence, but you know, I think there has to be some level of respect to the person you're dealing with.
Exactly. And we're talking about football here. We're not talking right. about someone working deep in the CIA.
Right.
Where they have sensitive information about a nuclear code.
This isn't Trudeau or Trump or digging in.
No, exactly. Like, this is just, I think this is the NFL overstepping their boundaries.
Right.
And I don't think it's necessary. And I would take serious issue with this if I was Baker Mayfield. Now, maybe he won't. Maybe he doesn't care. But well, I would. I would feel as if
he would be like, go ahead, have at it. And a lot of these guys are young athletes. I mean, think about it, and I can only respectfully say this about these Toronto Maple Leafs players right now. Like, I think they've got a real good crop, and I think they've drafted well, and I mean, for the most part, this team seems like a bunch of good kids.
And right, and by all accounts, they got to that point by going through the conventional.
But would it surprise you if there was some
surveillance?
Y'all going to follow Austin around?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? You don't even need to surveil Austin. Every time he's out in public, people know about it. This guy is the most recognizable face in the.
Baker Mayfield is to Austin Matthews. Like, he is that in Norman, Oklahoma.
So you could probably go into a local barkeep and say, have you seen this kid in here?
But that's what I'm saying.
Sure. Yeah, so you can do your due diligence on him without having to hire a guy.
You can find a lot of different people to talk to. That's different, where you can tell Mayfield, be like, you know, we've talked to a lot of people and we're going to seek out the truth. That is different than going behind his back and hiring some.
Well.
You know,
I think it's just
Leslie Nielsen type guy to follow him around.
Yeah, Columbo, a guy in a trench coat and with a beard and a mustache on. But I would love to see, we should do like a poll, the top five people you would love to have surveilled in this, either in sports or in like the world.
Yeah, that would be good.
Hey, like Jonas, you probably could chime in on that. Like you'd probably like to see what five people are really like.
I don't know if you'd really want to. That's the scary thing.
Well, I say this all the time.
Sometimes you don't really want to know the truth.
I say this all the time. Glenn Gullitson the other day got filmed by, I think, TSN, swearing on air, like, what, 20 times or whatever, swearing in practice. It happens all the time, but some people were outraged by it. Some people weren't. Like, sometimes you want to see behind the curtain, but then once you see there, you're disappointed or you're outraged. So,
well, that happens a lot. Like these.
Remember Bruce Boudreaux?
Yeah, I mean, that's just, if someone's offended by that, that's on you. You're living a G-rated life, and that's fine. You're entitled to that, but don't ruin it for the rest of us.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know, meeting your idol. And you think it's Joe Goodguy with the smiles and, hey, how are you, buddy? And turns out
Shooter McGavin.
Yeah,
he hates old people and children.
Or, exactly. Wears a diaper because he can't control himself. Or something.
Exactly.
Like, it's just like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
Nota Begay will join us at around 6:30 on Tiger Woods. Richard Griffin on Donaldson v. Gibbons. If you missed that story, we'll tell you more about it. And Leafs back in action tonight. Raptors in Indiana. You can hear that right here on TSN 1050. So I'm guessing you're a big Guantanamo Bay guy, Jonas?
How do you become a big Guantanamo Bay guy?
I just assume you're into torture and all that kind of stuff.
I know about it. Yeah, I've read about it.
All right.
Not good.
You're cool with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, that's the same thing. That's exactly the same thing.
I think it's an accurate equivalency. Not a false equivalency.
You're fake news.
You are fake news. I like Donaldson calling out John Gibbons today for fake news on his calf injury. He said earlier today, it wasn't a calf injury. It was just a bit of a cramp, dehydrated. So I had to shut it down for a week. But he's supposed to be playing tomorrow. Richard Griffin from The Star will join us to talk about that. And Nota Begay will join us. Tiger Woods on fire early at Bay Hill. So we'll get you an update on that. Leafs with a big win last night, back in action tonight. And the Raptors in action tonight as well. Could be a second round preview as they take on the Pacers. We'll tee it all up in the final hour. Jonas Siegel in here from The Athletic. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.